This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. A consumer economy works only when the delicate balance of supply and demand is in balance. Too much of one or too much of another, and the whole thing goes kerflooey. And figuring out that proper balance is actually a science, which gets us to our regular segment, I've Always Wondered.
If you wonder...
By asking 1,000 questions to get one answer, by brain work and labor.
Our listener question today is from Blake Waller of Denmark, South Carolina.
I have always wondered what stores like Walmart, Kmart, all the big boxes do with items that don't sell.
All right, there you go. That's the question. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore takes it from there.
It was 2008 and James Merwin had a problem. Actually, he had thousands of problems.
You know, it was probably close to 30,000, 40,000 toilets.
Merwin was working for a bathroom fixture company at the time, and this was when the housing bubble had just burst. So people stopped building houses, and they stopped buying toilets to put in them.
You know, in short, you go very quickly to almost bursting at the seams with product everywhere, and we were paying a premium to have it stored somewhere else because we didn't have space for it ourselves.
This is something that happens, maybe not as bad, to almost any retailer, from a pharmacy right on up to a big box store. It's called the bullwhip effect. You ramp up to meet what you think demand is going to be, and then demand falls off. But the first thing you can do about it is pretty simple.
The first lever you have is price, right? You know, take 10% off, 20% off. You know, each month, it's the pile slowly went down.
Sometimes things don't go down, though.
I am so sorry.
Mark Barrett teaches operations and supply chain management at Marquette University.
It could be sold to one of the various discount stores like, you know, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, Ross.
Or you can have your merchandise...
destroyed.
You know, shredded, incinerated, thrown out. Why do they do that again?
The primary concern is the impact on the brand, because suddenly it's, hang on a minute, we've spent all this time and money creating this image that we're an upscale retailer, and now suddenly you can buy our products for 20% of the price if you're just prepared to wait long enough and go to a different outlet store.
Dollar store shame. But what about just donating it?
The trouble is, if you're not careful, what you donate might end up on a Manhattan sidewalk sale competing with you in front of your own store. Sir, what are you selling here?
We are selling ties for $5. Good quality. I think they're like Marco Jacob.
That's Joe Thomas of the corner of 43rd and Lex. But plenty of companies do donate, of course. Walgreens, for example, gives away about 5 million pounds of food a year to charity.
Can I get that to the cemetery?
Reuben Sloan runs supply chain at Walgreens, like the one here at Astor Place in Manhattan, and he says really the best way to deal with unsold merchandise is to not have much of it in the first place.
What we're really trying to do is predict human behavior.
Walgreens sells 18,000 different things at 8,200 different stores. So here we have a protein shake, and here is some Gas-X, which means they have to make 160 million predictions about how much merchandise to order and put out every week. Obviously, they use computers.
Everything that we do is based on a forecast, and that forecast is based on history.
For example, this cough syrup.
We use everything from weather reports to incidents of flu across the country.
They start predicting a year ahead of time.
So for example, if there's a spike in aspirin and toothbrushes, that might be an indication that, there's an outbreak.
That sounds crazy complicated.
It is. I describe it as rocket science.
The key is having lots of history and data. Ruben says they've learned some fun tricks about demand this way.
On Christmas Day, we sell more bacon than anyone else in the United States. We even have a bacon report.
New products or fashion lines are what really involve some serious guesswork. But for any supply chain, one wrong move or bit of bad luck, and you can have a stack of 30,000 toilets on your doorstep.
There's as much art as there is science in a lot of this, and it is a rodeo, or I like to call it, it's a bit of a roller coaster.
Merwin did sell all of his toilets, by the way. Only slight discounting, no shredding or crushing required. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.